Blog Talk Radio.
Peter Buffer, there we go. Yo, what's going on, my brothers and sisters? Welcome to the Off-Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. How y'all feeling tonight? It's cold. Welcome, welcome, welcome. January 27, 2022. I hit my brother JJ back. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. Get together every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. See what's been going on in these streets, what's going on in your hood, my hood, someone's hood. You know, see what's going on with politics, music, sports. You know, just sit down and rap a taste. Started the show because I was tired of everybody having their conversations online, you know, being in one of those spaces where you're tweeting all the time, and I like tweeting. I like doing, you know, all the Facebook posting. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a conversation online. But I don't think there's anything better than, you know, getting on a forum and just having a good conversation. So we started the Off-Ramp. Talk about different subjects, different things that's going on in these streets. It usually lasts for about 2 hours. Sometimes it goes shorter than that. If it looks like a tough week where not a lot of stuff's going on, then, you know, crack a couple jokes. If it doesn't look like it's flowing good, then we out. But if we get people on and or if I just feel like talking for 2 hours, then we wrap. You know, it's organic like that. So if you ever want to hit us on the social networks, you can hit us up on Facebook. You can hit us up on Instagram. My brother was talking about getting a Twitter space tonight. Twitter spaces. I don't know what the hell that is. I guess that's everybody's going to different types of, you know, forums on the internet to communicate with people. And, you know, honestly, you can just call in the show. Feel free to call in. 929-477-3975. A lot of things. We didn't get to a lot of subjects last week. But it's, you know, a lot of things that happened this week. We had a good conversation last week. It got pretty serious early, but, you know, that's what's good about the Off-Ramp. That's what's good about being able to just call in and just have any type of conversation that's just organically given. There's no set schedule. I got a bunch of topics. I encourage everybody that comes in to grab some topics and, you know, whatever interests you, whatever you have thoughts on, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you think is funny, you know, whatever's bothering you in your heart, whatever you think people need to, you know, I guess process in their heart, call in. You know what I mean? Call in and rap a taste, man. So on that note, we'll get the show started. I got my man M Extra on the line. M Extra, welcome to the Off-Ramp. As always, my brother, good to have you. How you holding up tonight?
Good, brother. How are you, man?
Hey, no complaints, man. It's been a good week. We're looking forward to more snow this weekend. Are you guys getting more snow up north?
That's what they saying, man. That's what they saying. I don't know. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
But you know, last time they said we was going to get snow, I think they canceled all the schools, and it looked like it was just raining outside. You know what I mean? So that was a pretty uneventful thing that happened this past week. So hoping it's the same thing. A bunch of false alarms, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they started talking 12 inches down here, and then they dropped real quick, and it was real quick. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, your area might get 12 inches, and then it dropped real quick to maybe 1 to 3.
Right.
Maybe 1 to 6. So I was like, you know what, I'll take that. But, you know, we had snow last week, so I guess the last time we talked, last Thursday, we got snow, and we got hit pretty good down here. And the good thing about my neighborhood is that we live near a golf course, right? So, you know, a golf course that has all the hills and all that good stuff. So I was able to hop in the truck, take the kid over to the golf course, and it's a school's golf course, so they're not as strict as, you know, regular golf courses. So, like, it's just everybody in the neighborhood go to this golf course and just roll down all the hills that they got. So, you know. So that's what's up, man. So we just enjoyed the snow. Kid got to make a couple snowmen, and that was it. Didn't cause too many problems. I think my neighbor, I got to thank my neighbor because he got a snowblower. He's from one of them states. I don't want to give too much of his information away, but he got a snowblower to blow all the snow. And I think he did my sidewalk, but I couldn't tell because it was like a sheet of ice that was just sitting there. Have you ever used a snowblower before?
Nah, man. I've been wanting to get one, but I just don't know if it'll do me any good, man. I need a mini, like one of them little Kutras or whatever them joints called. I need me a gator out there, man.
Yeah, you see, you got a lot of land, so.
Only walking up a hill with a snowblower, I don't know how successful I'm going to be, man.
Yeah. That is true.
I guess walking down, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's just a lot, you know what I mean? I don't know how,
yeah.
I thought this was heavy, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of those things. You got one of those properties where it's beautiful. Like, if the the leaves are falling, you got the nice, beautiful hill going up to your house. You got the house on the hill. It looks beautiful. But they don't tell you that, like, if it's icy and snow, like, it's a bitch. Having a big hill to your home is beautiful in theory and in thought and in looking, but man, when you got to like manage that hill, it sucks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We beep all the time.
You on the hill beef?
yeah, we beefing.
Yeah,
we got that love hate relationship.
That's funny. Well, as always, glad to have you on the off-ramp, man. I don't know what's going on tonight. The usuals aren't here, so we're just gonna start the show, man, and get right to it. So since it's just me and you for right now, DJ C Siren is putting the kid to bed. So we can talk some sports, man. I know you got to be excited. Your 49ers have climbed the mountaintop despite a lot of people thinking that your quarterback wasn't good enough to lead you guys back to the big game, and you're one game away, man. How you feel?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I wanted to be the team to take out Brady. So obviously, I was rooting for the Bucks. But I feel pretty confident going in the Rams, man. Only because again, everybody's still underdog. We're still the underdog. You know what I mean? We the team that beat the Rams twice, but we the underdog. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's like, I don't know how much we can do. Yeah, okay, if you go back to 2 weeks ago, we won on a field goal, but I don't understand how that's a discredit. Like, you know what I mean? People discrediting or because we scored a touchdown on special teams against Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown either. They got it on the run, right? So it's like, and truth be told, if Kittle doesn't drop that ball, Jimmy G got a touchdown and Aaron Rodgers doesn't, right? But that's football, though, right? So it's amazing me how even people who know the game is acting like there's not phases of the game. Like, how, since when have you discredited a phase of the game, right? Like, how many Super Bowls have been won on a field goal? And all of a sudden now, because we got a touchdown off of a block punt, that just all of a sudden nullifies the win, and it's all of a sudden like a lucky win. That's almost like saying that half of Brady's Super Bowls were luck, because if the kicker misses the field goal, then he doesn't win the game, right? So then are we saying that about his legacy? No, we're not, right? That's stupid, right? That's asinine to say. And so I just don't understand that part of it. I don't understand the other part about how all of a sudden it's still a lucky win when the only team to beat Green Bay in the last 4 years, Ed Lambeau, has been the 49ers, right? So, like,
right.
And we did it with straight quarterbacks. Three different quarterbacks have done it, going back to Colin Kaepernick. So it's kind of like Colin Kaepernick did it, Jimmy did it, Alex Smith did it. Like, we all beat Aaron Rodgers. So it's like, yo, like, you know, so I went into Green Bay unfazed because I know when we played them earlier, we gave Aaron Rodgers too much time, and that's how he did the same thing that, you know, kicked the field goal, got him in field goal range, kicked the field goal, lost by 2 points. So I wasn't really scared of Green Bay, and I'm not scared of the Rams, although, you know, beating a team three times is always one of those, like, shit moments, right? Because, you know, like, just the odds, like, of beating a team three times is crazy. So that's my only real fear, but. Well, yeah, and then all the talk about Jimmy G, man. You know, Deebo Samuel posted something on Twitter, man, and he said it best, man. I mean, you know, I don't know any team or any coach or any fan, really. And if I told you that the quarterback on your team had a 33-14 record and 5-1 in the playoffs, and he took your team to the Super Bowl one time took your team to the Super Bowl, yeah, we lost, but we still took your team to the Super Bowl. In the last 5 years, you're saying you don't want that guy, right? But you put him at the bottom of the barrel of guys who don't have a 5-1 record, right? In the playoffs when it counts, right? And a winning regular season when healthy. I know his knock is him not being healthy. That's the reason why I'm like, bro, get your shit together, because you're making my team bad when you out here. You know what I mean? Not on the field. But when he's on the field, he wins. And so that's all. And so people say I'm a defender of Jimmy. But, yeah, because you're going to defend that, right? If it's a regular season, you're going to defend that, right? People defended Peyton Manning, who was all a regular season quarterback and never got to the big game, right? So why can't I have that same argument, right? He wins when he's there. His knock is that he's not accurate all the time. Sometimes he makes boneheaded mistakes and careless with the ball. But you know what I mean? So did Eli. But he won two Super Bowls, and nobody's out here talking about when he led the league in interceptions, though, right? Like, so, I mean, I got to take the good with the bad. But, I mean, at the end of the day, man, the man's got us in a divisional championship game, NFC championship game, two times in the last, 5 years. I can't. That's why I'm a staunch thing that I need our draft picks back, man. Like, it's no way that we should have gave that much up for Trey Lance as if we were out here talking about a losing quarterback that didn't put us in a position to win a game several times and got us the one step close to the Super Bowl. Like, that's not somebody who you say we need to leverage our next three drafts for to go get somebody to replace him. Like, so that's what my problem is with the way that our GM handled the draft to go get Trey Lance. I know that we need a successor. I know why, because they wanted somebody that can run and be more dynamic because of the whole – I think it's really the Lamar Jackson, what you see what Allen's doing, what you see what Deshaun was doing at that time, You know, you want a dynamic running quarterback, even with your quarterback with Hurts, right? I mean, and you look at what Russell Wilson's been able to do. So I get it with the whole dynamic of runner and the thrower. But to give up what we gave up, man, that just shit doesn't make sense. And if he goes on to win the Super Bowl, it really doesn't make sense, right? Because now we got to go resign his ass. Because there ain't no way you're going to actually move on to Trey Lance after you won the Super Bowl. Like, how do you do that?
I was gonna ask that. Like, so, you know, like how much, I mean, look, I haven't watched y'all that much this year. So I can't really comment on Jimmy G's play that hasn't been for the last 3 weeks, basically. Because I don't, like, you know, when I get time, I watch my Eagles, I watch the Red Zone and whatever game's on. But I'm doing a million things nowadays, so I haven't really – it's not like how we were, you know, a couple of years after college where we can just sit down and dissect football. So I guess my question to you is, you know, Jimmy G does have his detractors, and I still don't think he's a great quarterback. I would think that even if y'all won the Super Bowl, you would move on from him. But are you saying that if y'all win the Super Bowl, if Jimmy G plays well these next 2 weeks – let's say, because what was his quarterback? Let's say his quarterback rating is, let's call it middle of the ground, about 80. Not great, not bad. But you won the Super Bowl. Are you saying that you re-sign him no matter what?
Absolutely. Trey ain't ready. It's shown. I feel like we don't have any option but to sign. And I'm hoping that he don't break our pockets, which he should. But I think that because – and we got to sign Debo, right? But here's the thing, and this is the reason why I say what I say. It's because even if we do say let's move on from Jimmy, right, now we out here starting Trey Lance with no other backup, right? Who is our next backup? So that means we go out and get some kind of journeyman quarterback that they're journeymans for a reason, meaning they ain't won nothing. Otherwise, they'll be starting somewhere, right? So we'll be out here getting a veteran quarterback to back up Trey Lance. Because, and then they're going to say, oh, they're going to bring – that's a great, great move by the 49ers to go get Marcus Mariota because he's a starter and he can bring a level of experience to help Trey Lance and mentor Trey Lance. Now, what kind of dumbass shit is that? Right? Marcus Mariota hasn't won shit half as much as Jimmy G did. So who would you think would be better to then have Trey Lance learn behind, right? Someone who knows the system, someone who's a winner, or Marcus Mariota, or somebody like that, right? Like, that's what we're going to be left with. And so then it doesn't make sense because we're going to have to bring in another backup quarterback.
So you're saying keep Jimmy G. Okay, hey, we got my man Blur on the line. He's a San Francisco fan. He used to be a Dallas fan. He rode wherever – Deion Sanders, where he used to be a Falcons fan. He's all over the place, man. But right now he's repping your 49ers. So, Blur, you happy about – did it load up yet? Blur, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, man. I feel you, but stop disrespecting me, man. I've never been an Atlanta Falcons fan, nor have I ever been a Dallas Cowboy fan. The only NFL team I've ever been a fan of has been the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not currently a fan of the 49ers, but old habits are hard to break.
So you ain't have a Deion Sanders Dallas Cowboy poster in your room?
Yeah, because I was a fan of Deion, not the Cowboys.
Okay. I was just checking the temperature. But that's unfair.
I'll fuck with prime time. I ain't never fuck with the Cowboys.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying, yeah, you're the Cowboys poster in your room when we was kids. But again, that's unfair because we were kids. I've known you since the fifth grade, so it's a little unfair to bring that stuff up. I'm just saying, without New Year, you just roll for wherever Deion went. And look, you've already been consistent.
When Deion was in Atlanta, I was rocking a San Francisco 49ers starter jacket.
I don't know. I had to go back to the tape.
Yeah, I got picks, man. Minivan had the Eagles. Fat Dude had the Chiefs. I always been a 49ers fan.
Hey, man, y'all had that money, man. I couldn't afford a starter jacket, man. But enough about our childhood. So how you feel about your chances with your boys going into making a Super Bowl run? You're one game away from the big dance.
Right now, I got them making it, man. I mean, it's hard to consistently beat a team, but the Rams haven't figured out Kyle Shanahan's offense yet. They haven't figured out Shanahan, so I don't think they're going to do it right now. It's like, what, 6 or 7 times they bust them up in a row, so that's going back 3 years at least. I think 3, maybe 4 years. They haven't figured them out, so I don't think they're going to do it now. So I got them making it. I got them making it back to the championship.
So how do you feel about Jimmy G as your quarterback? If he wins the Super Bowl, same question I just asked M. Extra. Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl, do you re-sign him or do you move on and find another QB?
M. Extra was absolutely right. You got to re-sign him. You have to. You cannot release or trade a Super Bowl winning quarterback because clearly you can win with them. If nothing else, you bring him in and you let him compete for a spot. And hopefully Trey Lance progresses enough where he can take the spot from him. But you don't let him walk away. You don't trade him away after you just won a Super Bowl with him because you've just proven that he's good enough. If nothing else, he's good enough to win with. So now it would be counterproductive to if he makes it there and win. If y'all win the Super Bowl, you got to keep him. You have to.
But I guess my question is what number do you keep him at? Because like MX was saying, like if he wins the Super Bowl and it's time to redo his contract, he might want top 5 money.
You know what?
Super Bowl winning.
You don't break the bank for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think he understands that. So like hypothetically, yes, he could ask for you know, top 5. He could ask for whatever, but I think he knows what he is. When they were flirting with getting
I'm asking is, do you re-sign him no matter what, or is there a price limit? Like, is there only so much you're willing to pay for Jimmy G?
Yeah, you don't break the bank. You don't break the bank for Jimmy G.
Yeah, we're not breaking the bank for him, but at the same time, I think he won't expect the Aaron Rodgers and all that kind of thing. I don't think he will do that at this point. I think that we do got to pay him middle. And I said he's a second-tier quarterback. I didn't say he was great. I say he's a second-tier quarterback. I feel like that's a fair assessment, although everybody's out here acting like he's a third-year. I don't know how you go 5-1 in the playoffs and say he's and been to the Super Bowl one time and say you're a third-tier quarterback. Like, third-tier quarterbacks don't do that. Like, they just don't, right? There's 32 starting quarterbacks. Ain't none of them got 5-1 records. None of them. So I mean, that's money. That's second-tier. It is. I mean – And so if I'm Jimmy G, I'm like, look, you can look at my record and let that speak for myself. And he'll be absolutely right to say that. So both Cal and fucking GM, yeah. Like he can actually say that. And I think that he can get that like Tannehill type money.
He's under contract next year though anyway. He's still under contract next year. So they're not even gonna have to like up his contract, they're just gonna have to stick to it, which he's due to get a lot of money. It looks like something like $26.4 million $27 million next year. Yeah, for $27 million, you keep him.
But,
you keep him for the 27.
But is that his last year?
Next year is his last year on the contract.
Well, you know he's going to hold out then. Nobody's going to play on a 1-year deal after winning a Super Bowl.
Nah, he's going to have to. Well, look, we don't. You just sit there and take it. Well, then that's the perfect chance to let Trey Lance get up there and show us what he can do. We don't extend it. If we do extend it, we extend it for like heavy cop like incentive lay stuff, but I think you just hold it like, look, man, you got another year. Let's play out this year, see what we do. Or are we gonna keep negotiating throughout the season?
Y'all can't say how great, and the MX, feel free to jump in. Y'all can't say how great this man has been and he's a winner and then say, yo, take this incentive laden contract. AB put all that incentive-laden stuff to bed.
No, what I'm saying is he's under contract. So do we re-sign him? I don't think we do, because I don't think we can afford him. only reason why is because, again, we have to pay Debo. Debo is his fourth year. He came in with Lamar the same way the Ravens are going to have to pay Lamar. We got to pay Debo, period. Debo is our top priority. We got to pay him. We got to pay Debo. We got to pay Bosa. Like, them two going to get their money. Jimmy can't get that. And Jimmy's going to know he can't get that because Jimmy knows how much that a Bosa and a Debo means to our team. So he's going to have to take one of them Brady-type deals where it's real heavy incentive-based, or he'll take a cut based off of something like, you know what I mean, how Brady used to always take them crazy-ass cuts so they can keep re-signing the people that they need to re-sign. That, I mean
you hope he takes that deal. But, like, from what y'all just explaining to me, Jimmy's a winner. Jimmy's done, you know, he's beaten, he's been to the Super Bowl. Look, man, I'm not a hater of y'all. I'm trying to figure out if MX should root for my Eagles when we went to the Super Bowl one. I felt like there was some hate there, so I could throw some hate your way, but I can't remember.
Nah,
so as of right now, as my friends, I'm rooting for y'all to win the Super Bowl.
You told us that we hate because we should root for y'all because you are a boy. So stop it, yo. Stop it. You know, dad go well.
But did y'all root for us? I don't think y'all root for us.
I absolutely did.
Okay, look, I said I can't remember, so I'm being upfront and honest. I just know that you might hit me with the, yeah, I would root for y'all, but I got 100 on the under, so good luck.
I didn't bet that, but if I was a better man, I probably would have said something like that. I got to get in the bet.
So,
all right, so look.
Go ahead,
Debo and Jimmy G are both under contract next year. You pay Debo. You're absolutely right. That's the golden ticket. You give him whatever whatever he wants. You don't pay him like a number one wide receiver, but you lock Debo down. That's top priority. If nothing else, franchise Jimmy G.
Stop.
And Bosa's got another year after that. So Bosa's got two more years left.
But that's
let's stop right there. Hold on. Let's have this conversation. Before you go on, I was trying to cut you off. I want to have that conversation right there because I totally disagree. I'm not even a San Francisco fan. What do you mean you don't pay Debo like a top wide receiver? That is
not like a number one. Like, he's not going to be the number one paid wide receiver. No, he could be a number one. He can't. I don't think you pay Debo, hey, you're going to be the top paid wide receiver in the league. I don't think you give him that.
I
don't even know who the top. No, I don't even know who the highest paid wide receiver is. But I don't think you don't go straight to like we don't set the market.
I will tell you this: Davante Adams' contract is going to set the market. Whatever Davante Adams get is going based off of what Debo is going to be valued at, right? Because I think Cooper Kupp is still under contract, but I know Davante Adams is a free agent with Aaron Rodgers, so. Whatever Davante Adams get is going to be what Debo is going to get evaluated. His value is going to be there. The reason why I say we got to take care of Debo now is because we can't do him and Bosa in the same goddamn year. We got to do
absolutely
one of both. So we got to take care of one of them beforehand. That's where the Ravens messed up, right? Well, maybe they didn't mess up because Lamar's kind of had like this off year, still haven't been run to a playoff and a Super Bowl, so they can really say, listen, man, I mean, we going to pay you like, you know what I mean, like that not top-tier kind of money because he hasn't done nothing. But
So do you pay him like?
Hold on. Before we get into that, I just want to get this clear because you said that you can't, and we're doing a lot of football talk because we only got the guys on. DJ C-Siren is in the building. Say hello to your family, DJ C-Siren. She's working, so she don't really care about the football talk. But so is Debo and Bosa's contract up in a year, both of them?
No.
Or just one?
Debo got 1 year left on his contract, so he'll be locked in for next year. Bosa's got 2 years left.
So the race just got 2 years, so you don't have to worry about him. You got it. Yeah. So if Davante Adams sets the market, are you saying you give him less money than Devontae Adams, or you give him the same amount?
What I'm saying is that we give him a comparable amount because of what he did this year, and especially as a daggone runner. I mean, this dude is
saying
all.
No. I'm not saying.
Which is when you say comparable, so I don't think he gets what Devontae Adams get. I think so. If Devontae Adams sets the market, I think I'm looking it up now. Like average per year, D-Hop gets 27.5 a year. That's his average. If Devontae Adams says, "Yo, I want $30 million a year," I give Debo 20 to 25 a year. Which is a huge increase. That's like, yo, that's crazy. That's making more than, yo, that's like one, two, it's only four other wide receivers making that amount.
I mean, he could very well accept that. But if he's
that's what I'm saying. I agree with that, Blur. I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that we can't give him no change type money. Like, this dude is the number one receiver, bro.
Let me just ask this one quick question. I'm trying to get this cleared up. If you're telling me D-Hop makes 27 and you're offering Debo 25, you're paying him number one receiver type money then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I said 20 to 25 because these numbers, I'm looking at what they are now, and I don't know exactly when they signed them. So, you know, inflation, 20 to 25. Amari Cooper's getting 20. I think he's better than Amari Cooper. Keenan Allen's getting 20. He's better than Keenan Allen. Julio Jones is getting 22. I think he's better than Julio Jones. So I think you go 20 to 25. Because the people who are making 20, I think he's better than those people.
But what you said was you don't pay him like a number one wide receiver. But you're saying
no. Like, I meant like you don't pay him like the highest paid wide receiver. You don't let him set the market. That's all I'm saying. Like I said. DeAndre Hopkins.
At 25 million or 27?
27 and a quarter a year.
27 and a quarter a year. And you want to give him 25?
I said between 20 and 25. And I think when DeAndre Hopkins got this contract, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, that could be out. Look, I'm paying him more money than B-Hop. I'm paying him, like, if I'm the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm paying him more money.
Like, again, I'm not.
Yo, he'll be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. Do y'all really? No, I think he's great. He's definitely our key to winning.
I think Devontae's going to be after this. I think Devontae's going to be. So giving him, I think Devontae Adams paid more is going to be the highest paid receiver in the league after he's said and done. Right, so I'm.
Yeah, so you think Debo goes number two?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he is your entire offense.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. I just don't know about breaking the bank. Yeah,
I would break the bank. The only reason why I would have a conversation about him not breaking the bank, it's because you got to pay the racist DN. And because he's so good, you got to have a conversation like, look, our quarterback isn't Hall of Fame worthy, but we got a mean squad. I'm trying to keep all y'all, you know, don't hit us over the head too much because we got to pay the racist DN. Because he's great too. But
I hope that ain't the sales pitch, because if that's the sales pitch, I'm hitting you up.
That great. He's done so much for y'all. He could be like, yo, I'm the best player on this offense. Give me all the
right
money.
Now.
And he has.
And I hate to bring this up because right now he's only making. I know it's like I think he's still his rookie deal. He's only making like 1.9 a year. He's making 1.9 a year. He's making less than $2 million a year. We gonna bump you up to $22 million. $22 million a year over the next 5 years.
Yes,
that's what I'm
right
saying.
Now.
I'm with that. That's what I'm saying. $22 million. I put it right at the 22.
His value right now is more than anyone else in the league. He does more for y'all than anybody on the Rams does for them. Than anybody does on the Bills for them.
Cup.
No. Look, Aaron Donald, there's a reason why the Rams are even halfway good. It's because Aaron Donald is probably having one of his best years ever. I know no one talks about because he's a DN, but he's a problem.
Wait, first of all, everybody talks about him. Everybody talking about him.
I'm saying that Cooper Kupp isn't clearly the best person on the Rams team. I think it's easily Aaron Donald. But I think Debo's clearly the best player on y'all team. Probably too.
Well, now you're talking about best. Who's more important to the Rams, Aaron Donald or Kupp?
I think Aaron Donald.
I don't know. I mean, I think that might be the two most important, but I don't think that offense moves without Kupp. I would hate to see what that offense is without him.
Yeah, Kupp definitely. I think Kupp definitely. I mean, if you look at what Kupp's been doing this year, like you cannot deny him and what he means to the Rams offense. But
he's number two.
I agree in terms of what you're saying about Donald, but I mean, you can double team Donald, right? And they brought in all these other people on defense to help Donald, right? The same thing when I say with Bosa, man. Bosa's only effective if we got to put him on one-on-one. And you could chip him. You could do all this other kind of stuff to make that difficult. But on offense, Joe, what Kupp's been able to do to put these points, I mean, you got to pay too.
I mean, everybody loves the offense, right? But you're right. They can triple team and double team because they've been doing it, you know, Aaron Donald all year. But there's a reason why we remember, and it's funny because I was going to say we remember so-and-so's name again, and I forgot his name just that quick. Who's the guy you really love, Cheryl, with the big glasses from the Denver Broncos? It's the reason why he's having good games again, and we ain't heard from
Von
him.
Miller?
Von Miller.
Von Miller had a better game than Aaron Donald last week.
Not true. See, this is why I hate when you track people start having football conversations. Stats only tell part of the story. You can look up anybody on Twitter when you talk about Aaron Donald's game last week. They were putting four people on him. And it's the reason why Von Miller was getting sacks. It's the reason why Von Miller was getting pressure. They were trying to and Aaron Donald was still running through double teams last week. He didn't have a better game. He just had less stats.
No, you can only go off the stats. They both got
You can't.
They got looks. They got the looks they got. I don't know if Von Miller was double teamed.
That's false. You can go back and watch the game and see who had a better game. We all got this is what happens when you get grades for watching the film. It don't matter what your stats say. You could have three touchdowns and fucked up the entire grade, the entire game, and get an F for a game. And, yeah, you might have got three touchdowns. But if you had three good plays, out of how many offensive plays we used to run in a game? Now, I'm actually probably like 30, 32. If you ran three good plays out of 30, and you ran 30 bad plays, you got an F for your grade that week. And you can't just go off stats. You can rewatch the game. They show them on NFL Network all the time.
What I was saying is I don't know what the game plan was for Von Miller versus Aaron Donald. I don't know who faced the more double teams. I don't know what each assignment was on each play. I know what their stats turned out to be. They both got one sack, and Von Miller got nine pressures on Tom Brady, and Aaron Donald only had seven.
Yeah,
so
that's all that matters.
Go ahead, I'm actually.
Double to triple team, then not everybody else eats. You know, Armstead eats, everybody else is eating. So he's doing his job by doing that, and he's expecting that if other people to come in. If I'm going to get double team and triple team, y'all need to eat. And if y'all not eating, y'all not doing your job. Right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying on the sideline. Like, I'm gonna draw these double teams, but y'all better eat. Like, and if y'all not eating, y'all ain't doing your job. Because you one-on-one, and you need to beat you need to win that matchup.
You're absolutely right. And until I didn't go back, and I don't know who got double teamed more, I would assume they were keeping their eye on Aaron Donald. But after Von Miller done got a hit on Tom Brady for the fifth time, I'm pretty sure Von Miller was getting double teamed too. I don't know the advanced stats. I don't know who faced more double or triple teams. I can only go off what their final stats were. And he got to the quarterback more often.
You got to watch the game, bro. You got to go back and watch that game, man. Aaron Donald, man, he's different, man. He's different. You never.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. But Von Miller got to the quarterback more, so I'm pretty sure Tom Brady was making some adjustments like, yo, keep an eye on that one. Matter of fact, I think it was Von Miller who bloodied his lip.
If you're just going by stats, if Aaron Rodgers had better stats than Jimmy Garoppolo last week, do you say Jimmy G still had a better game because he won?
No.
So it's only stats with you. That's interesting. I wouldn't think that.
It's not only stats, but I'm saying without knowing the advanced stats, just going off of what's right here, because they were doing the same thing on the field together. So I don't know who had a more difficult time.
You're limited by the information that you know about the actual game to make any other statement than Von Miller had a better game just because of stats. That's understandable.
Yeah, right. If I go back and watch and I can see, then I have more information. But just going off what I have here, they both sacked Tom Brady once, and he hit him 9 times. Aaron Donald only hit him 7.
I'm telling you, they care Aaron Donald different.
Yeah, but he's still different, though. But you can't discredit what he's doing, what he did.
Yeah.
It's all right. The 49ers going to have something for both of them. They're going to have something for both of them. I don't think – matter of fact, I'm going to set the over-under at 2.5 sacks on Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm going to take the under.
I mean, but that's the crazy thing about the 49ers, just looking from an outside, you know, just an outside, just a football fan. Like, even if you sack Jimmy G a lot, it doesn't really affect y'all because you don't rely on your quarterback to win y'all games. Like, I'm not even saying that as a slight. Like, Aaron Donald would have to key – Debo to really affect, like, if Aaron Donald can take Debo out the game, then there's an issue. Like, taking Jimmy G out the game really don't affect y'all that much, because as long as he's able to find Kittle one-on-one every now and then, as long as he's able to get Debo the ball every now and then, and as long as your running back is still running tough, like, like, Jimmy G isn't the key to beating y'all. So it doesn't matter. Like, this is why it's so interesting in this game, and I think it's a good reason why y'all beating them twice. I mean, well, at least is why it's been – I mean, y'all beat them twice. But the reason why they're good games is because, you know, the Rams are built to get after the quarterback, but your quarterback isn't the focal point of your offense. So then what's the point?
Well, I would say this, though, Gar. Probably beat one.
You good?
The first game, we beat them 31-10. People ain't even talking about it. We smacked them.
What week was
that? Like 4. I don't know. That was before. But they still had – only person they didn't have on their team was, at that time, Von Miller and OBJ, because they picked them up later.
Yeah, yeah.
But the crux of their team was they were smacked. Right? They were supposed to be – that was before Arizona. And it was like middle of the season, actually. I don't know what week, but it was in the middle of the season. And I think, honestly, I think that was the first – that was when they first got OBJ. Yeah, that was when they first got OBJ, because I think he played a little bit, but he didn't play – that was the big talk, was how many snaps he was going to get. So they had OB, but they didn't have Von Miller at that time. But we smacked him, right? And the key that you're saying is strike. But in both games, what we do, so the Niners need Jimmy to play well. We don't need him, and because we do need him to win. Because when he turns the ball over, we lose. Every game that we lost, he's turned the ball over more than one time. Right? So that's the key, right? If you get Jimmy to get flustered and start making them dumbass decisions, we lose. So while you say that we don't need him to win per se, you're right. But at the same time, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm like, I need Jimmy to win. I need to focus on Jimmy because if I focus on Jimmy, he's going to make a mistake. That's only going to help us.
That's the scary part as someone rooting for the 49ers, because you know Jimmy G, he's going to try to give the game away at least once. At least once he's going to do something just nerve-wracking, like, yo, are you working for the other team?
Ball, throw a double team, throw it out late like he did last game, like he keep throwing out late. Like, who does that? Like, I knew that shit when I was playing quarterback in goddamn high school. You don't throw it out late. Don't throw it to the sidelines late. Don't do it. Pick six.
Yeah, that's always coming back. If you ain't throwing that out on time, don't throw it at all. Just throw it out of bounds. Just face the
set. So I see what you're saying, though, but at the same time, as a fan, I'm like, nah, man. Like, we need Jimmy to win. Because again, he's going to try to get a game away if they let him. And at the same time, I flip it around. I'm like, yo, but he's led several game-winning drives for us this year. And no one talks about that shit either. He's put us in position to win games, like, more than one time. Like, if you look at the Bay game, if you look at the Green Bay game, he led game-winning drives to put us up, or at least tie the game. And then our defense, our corners let us down, or D'Amico Ryan sat in the goddamn prevent defense. That's what we need to talk about next, prevent damn defense. I feel like if that needs to go away from every defensive coordinator's playbook, that needs to be thrown out. I don't know why nobody else defends the damn no one defends it. I don't know why they still run it. Like, 13 seconds, you're not supposed to get that many yards. But you sit and let them get 10 yards easy because you ain't pressing them on the line. Why don't you just – if you win the game –
That's how we beat Dallas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But no. If you was winning the game, playing your base defense or your scheme, why when you get down to the end of the game, you say, you know what, let me just abandon everything I was doing to put myself in a position to win and just do some other shit? Like, I don't get that logic. Like, because if you're playing your regular – go ahead.
I can look at it like this, because the prevent defense is what – led us to the win against Dallas in the wild card, the super wild card round. And it's not like you abandon what you're doing. You're playing situational defense. Like, if it's end of the half, you're playing a certain type of coverage. When things are happening, you gotta adjust to the situation. Now, traditionally, I would be with you, like, nah, cut that prevent out. All it does is prevent you from winning. But we saw exactly how it worked against Dallas. We played sidelines, had three on each sideline, and I think it was three deep. Like, all we gave them was the middle of the field, and that's how we had to run out the clock. They couldn't do anything. All they could do was attack the middle of the field, and what ended up happening, they didn't have enough time to get a playoff.
That's because Dak is in the homes that didn't know that he's supposed to get down soon. Because if he
it
does
worked,
that,
though.
But still, though, like, he's not giving that lane. They're not giving no lanes out in your regular defense stuff. Like, they got it. If they're going to take a shot, they're going to take a shot regardless. So they're not taking a shot because you're 20 yards back. So then they just say, what they do, they just hand it off to a fast receiver and then get 20 yards, get down, call a timeout. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that wouldn't have been there if you were out here at least bumping them on the line of scrimmage. Like, you're not giving nobody free releases in all game, and all of a sudden now you're going to give somebody like Tyreek Hill 20 yards to get momentum. Who does that? He didn't break away all game long. And then you say, you know what, we no longer scared of you. We're going to let you just catch the ball free. And look what happened. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, my problem with prevent defense isn't prevent defense. It's how it's run. Like, I understand umbrella coverage, right? But if you're going to have two safeties, or even if you put three safeties back, right, why do your corners and your linebackers give these receivers so much space? Like, everybody who's underneath, pick a man and follow him. You have safety help. Like, just stay in the hip pocket. Don't I don't even agree with jamming them. Like, don't even waste energy in jamming them. You just stay next to them so that when they catch it, you can tackle them.
Yep. Well, that's when you start running pick and rub routes, and now you got a man who just happened to get enough space, breaking free, heading toward the sideline, picking up 15 yards and going out bound. They ain't got to burn a timeout.
Still got safeties over the top. Still got linebackers doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't. Not pick a man and play man underneath, but, like, pick a man in your zone.
Yeah, because if you're running rub routes and pick routes, that only works on man coverage. And with Gunn Sanders playing, you're just playing off, or not playing either off. You're just basically, yeah, like a soft coverage, like soft man coverage. You're giving them a release, and this trail is called trail technique.
Yeah, that's it. Stay in the hip pocket. I don't understand why it's everybody like, let's just back up, back up, back up, back up, back up, back up. Okay, they catch it, and let's figure it out. Like, no, you got safeties over the top. Put three safeties at the top. Everybody plays underneath. Pick a man in your zone and just follow him. Just stay in the hip. Trail technique. That's exactly the word. I'll just play trail. If they catch it, just make the tackle and call it a day. I just think that's the way they run it.
There ain't a lot of people that's good tacklers in the league anymore.
No, that's why you need the safeties on top. That's why you need the safeties on top. Just because
they don't practice hitting like they used to back in the day. Like, that's why you got people like these quarterbacks just juking random people. Like, that would never happen back in the day. Like, these quarterbacks out here just juking safeties and shit. Like, everybody's just trying to dive, and I think it's a little bit because, again, as a runner, you're way more protected than a defensive person because of the defenses, everything. You can't hit. You can't spear. Well, you never can spear them, but, you know what I mean, depending on where your contact level is, there's so much you got to worry about as a defensive player tackling now. I wouldn't want nobody in space because if he go down and then I go – now I got helmet contact. Now that could be a possibly 15-yard penalty. Like, why do you want to put yourself in that position? You might as well do the same thing like what Beach Woman was saying, or what I'm just saying, just cancel the whole thing. But I like that. Umbrella coverage over the top. Everybody else just chilling. Linebackers, play in your zones, right? Find somebody, play in the zone, play underneath. You there to clean up.
That's right. So, I don't know if y'all saw. I don't know how long y'all say on football, but – did y'all see Josh Allen out here hitting the hit stick on these defensive backs for Kansas City?
That's like, what I'm saying.
I can't remember the white boy defensive back name, man. I'm like, yo, he out there looking scared to run up on a quarterback. Like, not scared like of a penalty, scared like he going to lay me out. And a few times, it looked like Josh Allen was looking for him. Like, okay, that's the victim right there. I'm going after him.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get to the game of the week with the Chiefs and the Bills. But you're right. Josh Allen different out there. Like that boy out there trucking people. But, you know, like it's the changing of the guard is coming where offensive coordinators are going to start looking at all these small linebackers and these small DBs because they've gotten so tiny to run with these little wide receivers. And they're going to start going back to big running offenses. You know, just because the linebackers are so tiny. And Josh Allen, like, being able to run over DBs like that, like, that's nuts, man. And that was a hell of a game. Are y'all worried about the Chiefs or the Bills? Well, I guess the Bills not now because they're out. But are y'all worried about the Chiefs or the Bengals?
We played the Bengals. I'm scared of both of them, honestly. I ain't going to lie to you. Only reason why, because I'm secondary. We have a horrible secondary, and it's nothing. And with Mahomes, I'd rather play the Bengals only because we can get the Burrow because he don't got the running factor, like, right? He got his capability, but I feel like we can get the Burrow because we got to him the last time we played him. We just got ate up by Jamar Chase because they just thought – I don't know what D'Amico Ryans was thinking. I don't know why he thought that we can just play man. We can't man nobody. And we was out here man that he's just cooking us. Like, just like he cooked everybody, got to play man on him. And we never adjusted. So, to me, I'd rather just play the Bengals. That's why I called the 89 rematch, only because I don't want to face Mahomes because he got a run-in, he got a dual threat, and I ain't trying to face Tyreek Hill again because he's going to cook. And I think Jamar Chase, we would learn this time, and then we got to let somebody else try to get it. Boyd or somebody else on how to try to win that.
See, I'm the exact opposite, kind of. Like, I would prefer to see the Bengals, but I'm not mad at seeing the Chiefs either, because I think we can – we definitely have a better chance of beating the Bengals, but I would love to get some revenge against the Chiefs. I would love to go in there, and I would actually love to see go in there and Jimmy G complete the pass. Not the go-ahead pass, but the pass late in the game that puts us in a position to hold on to the ball to run the clock out or to get in the field goal range and kick the winning field goal. Like, because that's where the whole narrative, like, yo, Jimmy G just don't got it. Because the first Super Bowl 2 years ago, he missed that one pass that should have won it. So I would love to go in there and get a little revenge against KC. But we're going to have to put up mid to high 30s to beat KC. And I don't think we could put up mid to high 30s to beat them. But I think against the Bengals, I think we got it. I think it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I definitely think we walk out with a victory a lot easier. I put like a 95% chance we beat the Bengals.
Okay. I just like the Bengals because they want to run the ball. I'm just saying because they want to establish a running game too, right? So they're kind of like built sort of like us. We're going to run, they're going to run, right? Then they're going to take shots. They take way more shots than us in terms of passing, but they at least want to try to establish a run game. Kansas City don't have to come out in here and just light up, like just light stuff through the air. And they don't come in the game talking about we want to be balanced. They come in and be like, yo, what you going to do? Okay, we just going to get a shotgun, line up a shotgun. We're going to hand the ball up a couple of times, but we're going to let Mahomes cook. The Bengals, they can do that, but they don't. They be like, all right, we got Nixon back there, man. We're going to let him get carries. We want to get him at least 20 carries a game, right? So that means that's going to open up a lot of stuff in the past. That's the kind of been their game plan. They're going to let Nixon get there, his 20-25 touches. Kansas City don't give a shit about their back. They were like, yo, y'all eat when y'all want when we let you.
Yeah.
So I just checked real quick over our season. If the Chiefs, they're gonna put up 30 something. We've only beaten one team that put up 30 on us, and that was the Detroit Lions. Now granted, it's only been like three teams that put 30 on us. The Packers put up 30. And the Colts put up 30, and we lost both of them. The Lions put up 33, and we smashed them. But the Chiefs are going to put up 30-plus, and I don't know if we got the firepower to stay with them.
If y'all smashed them, how many did y'all score? If they put up 33, the other three
like
put up 30.
41. Detroit, we put up 41.
That's
not smash. 41. That's one touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Nah, that was all that was late in the game. Like late in the game.
I'm just saying that's not a smashing. All I'm saying is that's not a smashing. Like, when you said we smashed them, I was like, oh, y'all must have put up like 55
or
something. This is 8 points.
It was pretty bad. Then they started coming back at the end and shit when we was out here just bullshitting, trying to run out the clock, because we was beating them like it was like 30-something to nothing or something. It was crazy. It was some dumbass score. And then
game of the season. Don't let the score fool you. It wasn't close.
I'm just saying that if you tell me it's an 8-point, would you talk about technically earlier? If it's an 8-point, game, I'm just saying that's not a smashing. That's all I'm saying. But all right, so okay. Well, look, I'm rooting for Chiefs versus 49ers because my brother's a Chiefs fan. Y'all, my brothers, y'all are 49ers fans, and it'll be brother against brother. And I just want to get a text thread so that y'all can voice y'all frustration. And I can see that y'all emotions jump up and down during the game. That's it. I got no stakes in it. I just want to see y'all stressed out. But
yeah,
good luck to you both. But you got to get past this weekend, though. It'll be interesting. We got to get past this weekend. So where y'all watching the games at before we move on to the next subject? And welcome in my man, New York, New York. He's been chilling in the background. Where y'all watching the games at? Anywhere special?
House.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in the crib.
Yeah, safe zone. You gotta love the safe zones. look, I got a boy that's a Buffalo's fan, and the game that he had, they just had with the Chiefs, he had caught him, and when they scored that last one before the Chiefs went up and Tyreek did that peace sign, I was on the phone with him. He jumped up, and all I heard was, "Oh shit, I think I broke my ankle. Let me call you back." And thankfully, he didn't break it. He just sprained his ankle. But I can understand the emotions when your team is in thrill and is in a thrilling game. So good luck to both of y'all. New York, man. Welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. I can't call it. I'm just jumping in the midst of the conversation you heard. Just, you know what I mean? Keep it going.
You excited about football this weekend, or you don't give a damn about it at all?
I don't. But I'm going for the 49ers.
Okay. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. All right, man, let's get to – we only got it, man. Time be flying. We only got about 50 minutes left. We spent an hour on football. It's good to finally have some football talk. But I know DJ C. Siren, she's finally done working. New York's online. I know he don't care about nothing about these sports. So let's get into some regular topics before we get out of here. Blur, I know you put something in the chat that you wanted to talk about, babies being baptized. Man,
yo, I don't even want to talk about it. Did y'all see the video, man? That shit was crazy.
I definitely saw the video. It is crazy, but that's still not the craziest baptism I've seen on video. But I just want to say, M. Extra, did you get a chance to watch Blur's video?
No, he put it in. I'll go look.
He put it in the chat. DJ C. Siren, did you get a chance?
I did not.
New York, did you get a chance to watch it?
Yo, what in the
hold fuck? Hold on. I'm looking for it. It's in the chat? It's in the chat?
Yeah, why are you claiming? What? That's not real, yo.
Yo, that's 100% real.
Oh, nah. Y'all got to put it back in the chat. Y'all got to put it back in the chat. I don't see it.
Yo, hold on. Hold on. I got questions. Hold on.
It's still
no
in
way.
There.
No way.
You just got to look at baptism going wrong.
There's no way I'm not smacking.
You fight. You fight.
Nah,
the
I'm punching shit
hold
out.
Hold on. Nah, I got to see this. Hold on. Baptism is going
wrong. Yo,
it's
a radio
hold
show,
on.
So we got to explain.
Yo,
so
this is real. This is not real.
So for those that are listening online, there's a priest. It looks like a Catholic. That's not Catholic. You not claiming
man.
That?
That look like.
Nah, you saying that because he don't slap that. You know, like he slapped the person, or like why you saying
not
nah, Catholic?
Because of what he's wearing. Because what he's wearing.
Somebody forward the video to me.
and what he's. I think that's well, it might be Catholic. I don't know.
It's mad.
See, the beard had me thinking like Hasidic Jew. He don't got the yarmulke on, but that beard giving me something. I don't know what.
That's not Catholic because they take a cup and say words and then they Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and they pour three cups of water on. They average it. I don't know what the fuck
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
See, when I see white people, I just think they're Catholic.
He said,
"Yeah, that's something else."
Yo, like look at the video. Look at the background. Look at the kids in the background, how they all scared and start backing up. Like, those kids are scared as hell.
That's why y'all keep commenting on the video but not saying in the video. I was trying to explain the video because it's a lot to unpack. Because my man, who's the priest, is shining. Like, he got a mean gold leg drip with the heavy beard and the sundial bald head. And he takes this butt-ass naked baby. Like, the baby is butt naked. Like, normally when I see baptism with kids, like, they have some clothes on. I think, yeah, they got, like, a white gown. But this baby is, like, balls out, butt ass. It looks like the baby can't even, like, ain't even got his eyes open. Like, it looks like the baby came right out of the womb.
Gotta be.
And the way this priest or whatever tosses his baby over his head like he is actually dunking a basketball. Like, I feel like the priest got game. Like, I feel like he felt like this was back on the playground. and he was out here hooping because he literally dumps his baby in a violent manner. Now, I will say babies are tougher than most people give credit for because I watched my kid get circumcised, and that was way more violent than this. It was awful. I wish I never looked because they say don't go look, but it's in a place where you can view it. And I watched when they circumcised my son, and that was violent. And so this isn't that crazy to me because you realize that.
Yo, I just looked. This same priest, this is his jam. He got a couple of these. Like, this is how he get down. And I guess the parents don't be paying attention because I just saw, like, three of his. Like, same priest, like, almost the exact same outfit, but that beard stick out. Yeah, he in there like Dominique Dawson with his babies, man. He giving it up.
Yeah. But,
that's
so New York, you got a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I just watched that shit. That shit crazy. That's assault and battery in the second degree. What are you talking about? The baby's leg is definitely, or bottom is definitely hitting the bottom of that bowl. Like, it's not enough water in that shit. And the bowl is not that much spaces. He's definitely slamming the baby down in the bottom of the bowl. That shit is crazy. What? He did that three times. He triple slammed that shit. No. Get him out of here.
It's the Greek Orthodox Church.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you know, Greek Orthodox Church.
He got to face some trial time. He got to face some trial time. Nah, that's assault and battery. Nah. Nope.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's funny, like, the priest steal the show, but, like, the background, man, like, the little kids is jumping back, they huddling together, they scared, and then you see the adults behind them, the one lady's, like, clutching her pearls, she can't even watch, she looking away, homie turning his head, like, yo, the whole church was in shock.
Right, like, it looks like they've never seen this man give a baptism, because the thing that worries me is honestly just whiplash to the baby. Like, the baby's not going to get hurt getting dunked into that bowl like that. But, like, the violent nature of him jerking the baby up in that, it's like the baby's neck ain't that strong yet. Like, you ever, like, for those of us who were parents and were blessed enough to be in the kids' lives and, you know, really took care of our kids, you realize that when kids are that old, when they can't, like, they can't control their head. Like, you can just nudge a kid in his head, and he going to tip over because he ain't got the strength to hold that motherfucker up.
Right. That kid is 2 months old. Crazy.
Is it just me? Yeah, is it just me or the baby's head hit his knees where he got dunked in the water? That shit is crazy.
Yeah. I'm already posting shit online. I need to
figure out what people thinking about it.
See, this is why y'all got to check the chat. Before the show, because it was hilarious.
This is crazy. I keep watching it too. Like, I need to stop watching. I keep watching this shit. This is crazy.
So, what are y'all doing? If y'all say, are y'all approaching the priest? I know MX should say he's tussling. DJ C Siren, are you approaching the priest? Are you approaching the priest, or are you tapping my shoulder like you need to go holler at him, or are you just saying that he's okay?
We should have done some research.
It's our fault.
We should have watched him do a couple. Put our kids in a position to fail. We should have known if he was in good hands or not. I mean, it's open now. All I know is if it's some health issues, we're going to be talking to the church. Blair, what you got? I mean, I hate to tussle in the church, but I mean, sometimes things are just called for.
I like the way the pops came in with the towel. He was ready to go. Like, he was like, give me my baby. He's ready to get the baby out of the preacher's hands, like, quick, fast, and in a hurry. But he got your kid. Like, you ain't going to just run up on him and smack him. He is still holding your kid above his hands, too. So you ain't about to Goldberg spear him. Like, he got the baby.
I'm taking the baby, and then I'm smacking shit out of him. And I'm going to dump his ass in the water. I'm going to take the back of his head. So it in the water.
New York, New York, what you doing?
Look, I'm about to show you. I'm about to show you right in the chat. I'm about to show you right in the chat what I'm about to be doing. I'm not even going to speak with it. I'm about to show you right in the chat.
That's funny. All right. Well, while we wait for New York, New York, that's a funny topic. So, all right, so we saw the wild baptism. So just my last comment. The craziest baptism I've seen is that there's a church by our house. They're, I guess their parent church. What are them people who be wearing the capes who be baptizing people by fire hoses? Like, if y'all look, it's the House of God or House of Prayer. Dog, that's the wildest baptism I've seen. Like just people, like these black people lined up to get baptized, and they put fire hoses on. Like it's the 1960s. Like, it's crazy.
Fire hoses.
Yeah, the ones
I people sign up for this?
Yeah, they're getting baptized.
They do it in Ethiopia.
See, I would expect that. I mean, my ignorance, and I'm going to probably get in trouble by one of my good Ethiopian friends.
I mean,
but I just imagine there's no one.
But they do do the water, like, hose thing to the crowd or Christian event.
Because I would expect Ethiopia doesn't have a lot of water. So I would expect them to need a hose.
What?
They was in Alabama. They on the panhandle. You don't dump them in the regular water. Does Rihanna look good?
She has sex appeal, and I think that goes a long way. I was, like, berated when she first came out, like, with the whole Pond and Replay thing, and I kept telling people, like, yo, this girl is not attractive. The song is catchy, but she's not attractive. I think she's gotten better looking as she's gotten older and gotten more money. I definitely think thick Rihanna looks better. I mean, I know that's not really her face or whatever, but I mean, I think she looks better now. She's got her weight up a little bit. But, I mean,
not her face?
She's all right. She's not ugly, but I think her big forehead is like, to me, I'll just say this to me because I don't want to be rude. Like, her big forehead protrudes out a little bit too much, I think, is a little less unappealing. So I wouldn't, I mean, I ain't going to rate her, but I ain't going to, like, she's not a dime in my opinion.
Nah, you
but she carried herself
that.
Well. Like, she carried herself with sex appeal. Like, the way she carried herself,
nah,
I think, raises her up a little bit.
If she not a dime, what is she?
I mean, I give her a nice face alone. She's a good 7, 8.
Nah. Oh, so everything included, she's a dime because she's rich.
Well, and again, it's not even that she's rich. It really is, like, her sex appeal. Cause, I mean, and again, the thickness, like, that she got now helps out a lot. It really, like, I mean, it's hard to put. I guess it's, like, her swag, like, just the way she carries herself. Like when she walk in and stuff, like, yeah, she be looking sexy.
But she not a dime. She is 7. TJ, Spisarin, does Rihanna look good? You like ugly women.
You said she's ugly?
I don't think she's ugly. See, and I don't like calling anyone ugly because we all have different tastes. We all have different views on. Like I said, anytime, like, I've had this conversation with DJ Sisyon, like, hey, what if we invited another girl in our bedroom? And if DJ Sisyon picked her out, like, she would be horrible for me. Like, DJ Sisyon's taste in women is absolutely horrible to me, but she thinks these women are beautiful. So I don't want to use the word ugly. I would say I kind of agree with Blur. Like, there's something sexy about Rihanna, but I feel like...
I think we've had this discussion before.
Yeah, we might have. But I feel like, you know, like, if she had no makeup on... not done up in, like, sexy high heels and sexy...
She'll look okay. I don't think her facial features are unattractive. She does have a big forehead, and it is a big forehead, and I think earlier in her career she had some bad, like, you know, wigs or weaves. But I think she knows how to draft. You know, I mean, she has. She does. You know, I don't think she's ugly. I wouldn't say she's ugly at all.
I'm just saying that. I think her personality would have to go a long way. And it seems like she has a great personality.
I don't know.
Really?
I mean,
she was mean to Sierra.
She might be a dickhead. She might have gotten better.
She was real mean to Sierra.
She definitely has an attitude, mean girl kind of.
But she's from the islands. I dated one from the island. They crazy.
I haven't really hung out with anybody from the islands. So I don't know. But
they crazy.
Yeah.
I hate to be what do you call it? Prejudice. Because I've met a lot of lovely people from the island. But I've only had relations with one. And that wasn't good. MXA, is Rihanna good looking? And she got this new Fendi promo, the Savage, or whatever it's called.
I think she is.
Go ahead.
I think she is. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. She's definitely fuckable.
New York.
I agree with MXA. I don't know what y'all talking about, but I agree with MXA definitely. Definitely. I don't care about no big forehead. I got a big forehead, too. What you talking about?
Is she a dime?
I wouldn't say a dime, but she don't look bad, though.
What's the classifications of a dime? Because, I mean, if the forehead disqualifies her... Yeah, to me, she's a dime.
I mean,
she told
you
about.
Think she's a dime,
she,
I ain't knocking you.
No, I'm just saying, she's beautiful to a lot of women. What's the qualifications? I think she a dime. What you talking about? She got the Caribbean aspect to her. You know what I mean? She can sing. She can dance. She can whine. She can do all that. You know what I mean? Say what? And then she got a business. She got a business on top of that. Yeah, pay my student loans. Yeah, she a dime. Ain't no question about that.
Pay my student loan.
We were from is she good looking to can I get some money? Is Missy good looking? She can pay your student loans.
I mean, she can dance. I mean, other than the trash bag shit that she did to her. I mean that shit was fire. I ain't gonna lie, that shit was fire. But say what? Yeah, most definitely. What? Say what? We on the same team, Jermaine Dupri. Yeah. She a dime too. She a dumb too. Eve got the little paw prints on her titty. You be like, what? Like, yeah. Say what?
See this, and I'm not trying to get subjective towards women. I'm just wondering how, like, you know, because women that's objective, not subjective. Eve is one of those women who I think is gorgeous, but I understand why people are like, she looks a little funny.
Eve because
she kind of got the little like dinosaur face. Like she would tear your head up, but I love the way Eve looks. But I can understand if somebody like nah.
And she can ride motorcycles too. Say what? She was part of the Rough Rider movie. Nah, Eve was a dumb too.
We don't know if she really knows how to ride motorcycles. I mean, she was just part of the crew. I mean she might have been going like 30 miles an hour on there. She might not have got out of second gear. But, hey, I don't know that for a fact, so we don't know. So, hey, so just real quick, MXA, is Missy and Eve good looking?
They're cute.
Blur?
I would go with cute. I never really thought – I never once thought of Eve as sexy. So, yeah, she's cute. I mean, she's not bad looking, so I guess if you're not bad looking, then you're good looking.
I'm sure all these women are beautiful in their souls, and I wish them nothing but love and happiness.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Y'all call them cute? That's crazy. I would definitely be singing on a motorcycle, "Can't Stop the Rain," with a matching fade like Eve had in the back of the day. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Nobody said we wouldn't do that. I didn't say I wouldn't do that because I'll be right there. I don't know if I'll be on the back of the bike, though. I think he's going to have to get on the back of the bike. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know about that. But, yeah, what you need, where
yo,
you need
you
me at, baby? I'll be right there.
You wouldn't ride on the back of a bike of a girl? Oh, man, is that Rihanna in this video? You wouldn't ride on the back if a girl was riding a bike, you wouldn't hop on the back?
You know they call that Ryan bitch, right?
Huh?
Like that's what it's called. Like I heard bikers, I heard female bikers say, "Hey, that's called riding bitch." He's like, "Yo, if you ain't got no problem riding bitch, that's cool. You won't be riding bitch with me though." So, like, okay.
So
heard you. I know exactly what you're saying there.
You ever played the Grand Theft Auto games? And when the guy get on the back, he hold the back little part. He don't hide. He don't hold the women around the waist or shit like that. I'll be doing that same shit in the video. What are you talking about?
Is that Lil Kevin? Yo, it's a damn shame Jay-Z stole that song, "I Just Want to Love You," from Oskino Sparks. It was a huge hit, yeah. It's a damn shame. Yeah. All right. So,
shout out to the homie, too, because he got some good music. But, yeah, we can move on.
Yeah.
Whoever I remember him in the State Property joint. Yeah, that was the homie in the State Property joint. Man.
I hope wherever they're doing, all right, because it seems like Beanie Siegel got a lot of love lately after the Kanye West interview where Kanye said he was going to give him some money for coining the name Ye. And I don't know where any of them State Property dudes is at, but I hope they're okay. Some big jackets.
They appear on the podcast every week, man. One of them appear on the Devin Wade podcast almost every week. He just had Oskino. He had Chris and Neef on there weeks before that, and he had PD Crack on there.
Who podcast? Oh, well, good for them. Shout out to Devin Wade, man, and his podcast. I hope it's doing well. I got to go back and listen. I haven't listened in a while, but good for him. All right, so what else we got? So, Blair, you still want to talk about this San Jose, California passing a law that required gun owners to carry liability insurance?
Yeah, I think it's wild. I think it's smart. I really just wanted to hear what y'all thought about it, like just hearing that. Because the biggest thing when it comes – I feel like this is Democrat because the San Jose mayor or whatever it is, the city council is a Democratic mayor. I think this is them trying to get around gun restrictions. Or not being able to have a firearm restrictions and not being able to put these restrictions on because of the Second Amendment. Because technically, and this is what people said they're going to sue, because you could do a lot of things under the guise of insurance that you technically would not be able to do otherwise, like having an electronic system keeping track of gun purchases itself. Because right now you can't. But there's no law saying you can't have an electronic system tracking your insurance. So I think this is a great way. I don't say great, because depending on what side are you on, maybe you don't think it's great. But I think it's really smart. I think this is Democrats doing exactly what Republicans have done for a very long time, which is, hey, if we can't get it this way, we'll find another way around to get to the same objective. I think it's incredibly smart. Like, and it's weird, because he's doing it in such a way, it's like, you got to have insurance. Like, if you don't have insurance, you don't lose your gun. Like, yeah, you still get to keep your guns, but if something happens, it's going to be, like, serious, like, consequences.
And extra?
In principle, I agree everything what Blur said. I mean, I think that is a good way to get around the whole not putting more restrictive gun laws on the book. And I think that what argument would lose in court because, again, he's not taking away your guns and he's not denying your right to have a gun. And that's all the Second Amendment says, is that you have a right to bear arms. It doesn't say I don't have a right to regulate that firearm, right? Because it does say a regulated militia. Regulated being the key topic. So when everybody's talking about, oh, well, we got all these gun laws and gun restrictions and all this other kind of stuff in the state violate my Second Amendment, well, that's not the case at all. Right. So I think this is brilliant because if you are a gun owner and if you are a comparable, I don't know, well, if you are a smart gun owner, you already make sure your shit's tight. You wouldn't be running around doing dumb shit. You'll be using it and you'll be putting it away and you won't have it out so nobody can kind of come take it or a kid can come shoot themselves and all that kind of stuff, because that's really what this is protecting. And I think it makes you a more responsible gun owner, just like you have an insurance, and you don't want your insurance to go up, so you may not be speeding, or you may fight this way, or you'll act some ways, and you won't just rear-end people because you know you got this already bill that's going to happen. I think that's the same thing with guns, right? So you carry it because you're going to have some liability that you can kind of protect yourself if something happens, and then if something does happen, then you can actually come out your pocket so you're not suing the state for something that happened with your gun. Because guess what? If you fire and it goes through my wall, well, you're going to use your insurance to pay for that shit. As opposed to now the city got to come out and fucking fix some shit.
New York, he's selling it like really smart as well. He's saying like most insurances is going to, like if you have certain things, if you have a gun safe, if you have trigger locks, if you take the firearm classes, then you'll get lower premiums. So it's kind of, he's telling us like, yo, the insurance is going to make safer and smarter gun owners. So I really like what he's trying to get. I like how he's presenting it. I think he got all his bases covered.
I think for my standpoint, I agree with everybody's saying right now. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, well, I ain't even going to say at the end of the day. That's what Merlin is already doing. They make sure that you take the classes before you get a gun. They make sure that you already had the fingerprints in the system. They make sure that you already are being sold with a gun that has a lock with it. Everything else is up to you. I don't think that the law is actually going to get passed. I don't think the law is actually going to go up to Supreme Court and get passed, like, because everybody in that motherfucker owns a gun. Everybody in that motherfucker owns an AR-15 and shit like that. Like, I don't think that shit's going to get passed. But, I mean, at the end of the day, what y'all talking about and stuff like that, hey, the way he's selling it, states is already doing that right now. States is already doing that right now.
Yeah, it's as a gun owner, like, it's one of those things where I don't know if it's the way I was raised and the people who I'm related to in conversations that I've had, or it's one of those things where, like, for those of us who carry guns, like, we never wanted, like, the advantage of having a gun is making sure no one knows you have a gun. And that's one of the things I knew very young. It's like, yo, if you're going to carry a gun, make sure no one knows that you have a gun, because that's your advantage. And I think having insurance, like, I've always looked at, and because I'm a gun owner, and Virginia is definitely different than Maryland. Like, you go, you walk in Virginia, you show them an ID, and you walk out with whatever you want. So we don't have all those regulations and stuff. But as a gun owner, as a father, as someone who plans on showing his son how to use a gun, probably in the next year or two, and get him used to seeing guns and understand how to work guns, and so that he's never, like, scared when he sees a gun, but he also understands when someone has a gun, if it doesn't look right, to get the hell out of there. I'm with having the insurance and all that stuff. I look at it like just having a car. Like, if you have something that can seriously danger, then you should have insurance. Like, we got insurance on our homes, we got insurance on our cars, and we got insurance on fucking phones. Like, we got insurance on our telephone. Why should we have insurance on a gun? Something right. That can, you know, like the gunpowder and the projectile, like, it should be a non-conversation. We got dog insurance. These little motherfuckers that just lived 10 years, we got insurance on. But you're not going to put insurance on the gun. It seems like it's one of those things where common sense should prevail when you look at how our society is built. But, you know, Republicans going to be Republicans. But so, Blair, you're saying that it's not passed yet, but he proposed the bill?
Yeah, it's just proposed at this point. It's not. It hasn't been signed into law as of yet. And there's already people threatening lawsuits. They're like, yo, if y'all pass this, we sue, and it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. But I think the fight is worth it, because I think, like, this is just such a smart way of doing this. Like, just like you said, I feel like this is common sense. Like, so I feel like they need to pass it, even if they get shut down in the court system. I feel like this is the way to go. You got to get these things out there and say, you know what, somebody, maybe the Supreme Court will say, yo, you know what? Nah, this doesn't violate the Second Amendment rights. You definitely can require insurance. So maybe if San Jose don't do it, another city or another state picks it up and like, you know what? We with that too. So it's not on the books yet, but it's going through the process. And
I
just
got
to touch on what New York was saying, I was at the gas station right around the corner from my crib, the gas station I go to, the gun range is right next door. Homie had the SS, and let me tell you, when he was selling out the trunk of his SS, they didn't come with no gun locks, they didn't come with no safes. And, yeah.
That's a difference. You talk about a different thing because at the end of the day, if he's selling it out of the trunk of his car, we talk about illegally or he have his FFL. Are we talking about that?
I'm saying illegally, but if everything's got to be insured, then it's going to get tracked down somewhere.
You can't reach ramifications over just the insurance. You can't say that it's going to be tracked down somewhere because at the end of the day, you started your argument about how, y'all mean, how all these guns is going to be tracked legally. You can't say somebody selling the gun out of the trunk of their car is going to be tracked. No, because at the end of the day,
yeah, but,
it's always going to be somebody that breaks at the law. These guns, some of the guns, huh?
But you got to understand what he's saying is that even if you buy a car, I mean, even if you buy a gun illegally and you use it and you get caught, he's saying like if you get caught, it's just like driving a car without a license and without insurance. The liability that you would face could ruin your life. So a lot of people don't take that chance. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some illegal guns on the street. But, you know, now you'd be facing, an illegal gun charge, and whatever you did with that gun that got you caught first, you're now 100% liable because you didn't have it insured and you didn't have a license for it. So if you're going to shoot up the block, you better be sure you're going to shoot up the block because even if you can get away from the attempted murder charge because you don't have insurance, whatever you messed up, you're 100% liable for it at this point. And you might just be financially ridden. That might make more criminal.
Okay, yeah, financially, yes, but the law still stands today. The law still stands today. If you do that and you hit another house and you put somebody else in jeopardy, you could still get charged with that.
Right.
Not liable, but yeah.
But now you'd be liable.
What is the incentive of, we only talking about San Jose. Are we talking about the whole United States at this point within this conversation?
I mean, my
conversation stands on the San Jose standpoint. Now, if we talking about if United States as a whole adopted, then yeah, my answer would change. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Blur is saying that this could be a stepping stone for the entire United States to adopt because if they're never going to get rid of the whole Second Amendment, did Genuine die in this video? But if you're not, yeah. Me and DJ C-Side have videos on in the background while we do the show, man. And they always play. And Thursday night is always Throwback Thursday. So he's got these old videos. And Genuine's Difference video came on. And he's, like, singing in a chair. And I guess he just dies and floats to heaven. And it's so weird. But, yeah, so if they adopt this policy across, you know, the United States, I guess the question is what would be the problem? You know,
I got another question. Hold up. A Republican introduced this bill into Congress?
No, that's a Democrat.
A Democrat. Okay, yeah. So hold up. So is it more that when the Democrats get in office, we see about all these shootings, all these gun laws and stuff like that, but opposed to when Republicans get in office? Is that a certain type of agenda for Democrats?
It's a wedge issue, and they want to keep it a wedge issue. So
okay,
Yeah, so they're lovers of the Second Amendment, and they try to pin the Democrats as anti-Second Amendment, even though most Democrats are for the Second Amendment. They're just for regulation behind the Second Amendment.
Yeah, like gotcha. Obama used to call it common sense gun laws. Again, nobody's trying to take your gun, but if you need a license to drive a car, you should have a license to buy a gun.
Right. Exactly. Common sense. But the Republicans are like, a license? What do you need a license for? That's bull crap, just because the Democrats said that we're for licenses. Like, this is the dumbest shit ever. That's why sometimes I hate politics. It's like, if
that makes sense.
Hey, we don't need militarized weapons. What? Well, that's the Second Amendment of Right, because the Second Amendment of Right told me I could have that. No, it didn't. It just said you had a gun. It didn't say nothing type of gun. So it never said that,
I had
to, right? That's what, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to cut you off. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, but I had just saying that if you really read the Second Amendment, it doesn't tell you that you can have certain guns or certain weapons or certain things. Like, because, again, when this shit was written, none of this shit existed. So they didn't know that, right? So that's why it doesn't specify the shit.
And it's funny because, like, I got one of them Republican neighbors, and he loves guns just like I love guns. And it's good because we have these conversations, and he was like, yeah, you know, and we brought up the militarized, you know, weapons. And he's like, yeah, if I want a fully automatic AK-47, it's my right to bear arms, I should have it. And I was like, okay, well, what if I wanted a rocket launcher? And he was like, he bit into the conversation. He was like, if you want a rocket launcher and you can afford it, you should have it. I said, well, what about a tank? Like, where does it stop? He said, if you can afford a tank, it's your right to bear arms. You should be able to buy a tank. I said, cool. You cool with Russia having nuclear weapons? And he was like, well, no. And I was like, why? If you have the right to bear arms, why can't someone else? Everyone should have the right to bear arms. It's funny how, you know, when it comes to it's like politics isn't about – they say it's about – you know, your belief system. But once somebody else gets that exact same belief system that you don't like, it should be changed. Because, like, that was my whole thing. Well, like, everyone should have the right to bear arms, and it should be no questions asked. And you should be cool with everybody in the world having nuclear weapons.
Beach bum. All you have to do is say, at what age does your right begin? Because if that's the case, then tell him to strap up his little kid then. He'll, you know what I mean? Like, so little kids, you can just give an infant a gun because they got a right to bear arms. So I want my kid to have a gun, right? I want my little 5-year-old going to kindergarten strapped just in case a bully comes, right? Because then he got a right to bear arms and he got a right to stand his ground, right? So when you put that in scenario in their mind and they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. My kid has a right to bear arms, so shoot, yeah, he can take my gun, and he has a right to stand his ground if I'm in Florida. So if I got a bully, yeah, he got a right to pop him.
Oh, man, you took it back to the Red Dead Redemption days. Like, nah, oh, my, can you imagine?
That's what I mean. Where does your right begin, right? Because they keep talking about I got a right to have all these guns, but then if I say, okay, so cool, so my 10-year-old can have that? Nah, well, I don't want my 10-year-old to do that. Or your 5-year-old? You know what I mean? Like, what? At what part? They should be able to purchase a gun, right?
Can you imagine if you move into a block and a nigga had a tank parked in his driveway? Hell no.
Yeah, I would love a tank.
Hell no. But that's you. You gonna move to a block where somebody else got a tank parked in their driveway? Nah.
It depends.
It depends
if I'm cool with him or not. I need to be able to be on the right side of the car.
He's the first day, bro.
You ain't
going
to knock on
his
door.
Right. You better meet him quick. You better be his buddy. All that.
I'm going to bring over an American flag, a hot dog, and some mayonnaise. Like, hey, Rogers.
Right.
You flown any American flags lately? I have. Oh, man. All right. So we done with that, Blur. You good?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to hear what everybody else's thoughts was. When I first saw that headline, I thought, oh, yeah, that's kind of dope. Because I saw it on, like, multiple levels, not just, like, the actual insurance portion of it, but, like, what it could mean for just, like, regulation and tracking. So, yeah, that was cool. I just wanted to make sure to see if anyone else saw that.
Okay. All right. We got about 10 minutes left. We ain't got to hold it too long. I know it's only a couple of us. DJ C. Siren, you might want to come into this conversation for a quick second. I'm going to cross off some old topics. So, do you like to cuddle? I'm going to go, and you'll see where I'm going with next. But I just want to know if men like to cuddle, or is it just a women thing? So I'm going to come to you first, New York. Pause this whole conversation between us men. DJ C. Siren can hop in here in a second. But New York, do you like to cuddle?
At certain type of times, I mean, because at the end of the day, it's mad cold outside. I think it's like 34, like between like 21 and 34 out here. It's mad cold outside, and I like to keep my window open, and the degree in my house don't get touched, you know what I mean? It stays at 68. It stays at 68. So if I'm feeling mad cold, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, me, put your chest on me, you know what I mean? Put your head on my chest,
nah.
You know what I mean? Cuddle me, you know what I mean?
Nah, so you can't cuddle because you want to survive the depths of cold and keep your body temperature regulated. No, I just want to know if the temperature is perfect in the room and everything is fine, do you like to cuddle?
I'm telling you.
I don't want
no excuses
of I'm trying to survive the night.
Well, since you put it that way, since I keep it at 68 degrees in my crib, you know what I mean? If it's above 72 and it's shit is mad hot, like, nah. Like, nah, you know what I mean? We can cuddle for a certain type of minute, but if your body heat is mad hotter than mine, like, nah, we ain't doing that. Nah, I ain't trying to sweat in the bed sheets, you know what I mean? We got to wash them shits. Nah, we ain't doing that.
Air extra?
Yeah. So... your head on some big old bitties, big old bitties, and getting that joint, your little scalp massage. So, hell yeah, I like to cuddle. And you know what I mean? Then you flip them over, you lay them joints on the cheeks, as long as they're all, you know, they cleaning, they don't be farting. Man, ain't no better position I want to be in. Shit.
Blur. As long as they don't be farting.
Oh yeah, man, I'm right there with it. I'm all for the cuddle me, baby. I'm with it. I'm like the side position though. Like, I don't, I mean, yeah, don't fart on me. I mean, I've been told I fart in my sleep though, so I don't know. Like, I'm the position that most men don't like when they got your arm tucked under their head. And you know what I mean? You got your other arm wrapped around, and now you squeezing on the tickle bitties, and on the side, and you know what I mean? You got the little curvature, the spoon, and you fit right perfectly. That's my jam right there. That's my spot. I love that right there. See, I learned a long time ago, you got to put your arm underneath the pillow, and then let them lay on the pillow, so you can always pull your arm out when you need to without disturbing nothing. Yeah, I'm there all night. I'm a nighttime color. Like, if it's like Saturday, Sunday morning, I don't like cuddling in the morning if I could get up. Yeah, man, I'm all for the cuddling.
Look, dead ass, because my arm be falling asleep like a motherfucker. I hate that shit. The shit get the tingly feeling in the arm. You can't even move that shit. And that shit just stuck there. Hell nah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Go ahead, DJ C. Siren.
We're going to get to that this arm tingle. DJ C. Siren, do you like to cuddle?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. 50-50.
Fuck.
I used to.
She over me, yo.
Like,
10 years, yo. We almost at 10 years of time to get the divorce, yo.
If I can't stay in one position,
DJ C. Siren, she lying. She don't like to cuddle at all, yo. But she'd be mad if I cuddled with somebody else. Cause I'm a cuddler. I like holding my woman, but she don't like me holding.
No, you get hot. You don't
I do get hot. Yeah, like I'm with New York. It's gotta like I want you to freeze, so you need my body heat to survive. Cause that's the only way.
So, bitch, well, guns like his arms are heavy, so sometimes it's like if it's not.
You just call me fat.
Yeah, I say your arms.
Yeah,
because
that was my.
You could be muscles.
Yeah, I got the muscles. Muscles weigh more than fat.
And it's like if you drink your arm the wrong way, it still is kind of crushing.
Crushing
this
way.
You gotta put on the right bone.
Cause I like cuddling. Like put my dick between your butt cheeks, and I'll hold you and fall asleep all night. I love that position. So my next question, moving on, is, and DJ Susana, I'll go right back to you. Do you think bodybuilders like to cuddle or make good cuddlers? Because I understand what M. Extra said. Laying your face on some nice, soft, big old titties is great. But bodybuilders got to cuddle too, right? But that's got to be uncomfortable, yo. But what do you think? You think I'm wrong in that, DJ Sire? You think bodybuilders make good cuddlers?
No, I wouldn't think so.
M. Extra? Hell no. Yo, anytime you go and it hurts, no game, yo. That's not for good for business. Not good for business. Blur.
Nah, man, it's gonna have to be a no for me, dog. I would think maybe a lesbian might enjoy that, and this is why. Not essentially just because it's like hard body. Like, bodybuilders got the hard bodies, and I want to cuddle with something soft and squishy, and, you know what I mean? Something nice and cuddly, like, you know what I mean? I want to feel like I'm grabbing a pillow or a cloud. I don't want to feel like I'm grabbing steel, like, I mean, like, but I feel
right.
Like a woman might appreciate that.
I want to be in a Charmin commercial. You want to get a Charmin commercial? You want to cut a fat bitches off? New York. I'm sorry, DJ. I'm sorry. DJ, sorry, fed up. New York. What you think? You think bodybuilders make good cuddlers? And I'm talking bodybuilder women, because we like women with six packs, right?
Nah. I ain't even gonna hold you. I like this Charmin feel. I like this Charmin feel for real. For real, but at the end of the day, y'all, you know I mean, I'm not even hating. Could bodybuilders even wash their own ass or wipe their own ass? Nah, I ain't even do that. If you got mad muscle right there, y'all, you know I mean, you can't wipe your own ass. Y'all, you know I mean, y'all, you know I mean, so y'all, you know I mean, flabby a little bit, hurt, stay fit, stay healthy, but y'all, you know I mean, mad muscle ain't gonna get you back there. Heard you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm pretty sure they'd be cuddling, you know. I just, like, I wouldn't want to cuddle with a bodybuilder because I feel like, you know, once the arm gets tingly, once the arm starts falling asleep and I roll over, like, I don't want you, like, pulling me back towards you, like, no, come here. So I'm going to feel like that you're trying to take advantage of my body and I might have to sock you. But that's all. All right, so that's that. We got what? We got like 5 minutes left. What makes you part of the sex world? We can do this real quick. If you know someone who's part of the sex world, because I think my man Blair is part of the underground sex world, and I guess I might have to have a long explanation because that's a bad thing to put on Blair without a long explanation. But if you were part of the underground sex world, DJ C. Siren, what do you think you would have to be doing?
I don't really understand what you mean.
Okay, let me go to M-Extra, if you were part of the underground sex world, what do you think you would have to be doing? I guess M-Extra either put us on mute or he ate something and passed out.
I would have to be a pimp.
Pimp, if you...
Yeah, if I had to live that life, it would be under... I'm pimping people. Them's not doing no sexual acts.
Okay. And I'll tell y'all where I'm going with it, and then we can pick the conversation. New York, if you were part of the underground sex world, what would you think that someone would be doing?
I mean, everything. At the end of the day, I mean, I dated a stripper, so at the end of the day, we be doing everything. Other than the shit that I don't pass, first of all, let me clarify, other than the shit that don't go beyond my boundaries, I be doing everything. But, yeah, that's what I be doing.
So I guess that's my question. Is dating a stripper part of the underground sex world?
Hold up. Is you asking me or you asking the whole group? Because this shit going to go on. Nah, I'm just say what? I get the Oompa Loompa, scrub her forearms, scrub everything, you know what I mean? Say what? Like what? If that gives you pleasure, say what? Nah, see what? I do that, but this is a conversation for a different week. You only got five minutes on the show.
Blur. Well, I guess before I go to Blur, I should explain why I think Blur is part of underground sex world. We just have this conversation, and he knows madams, and he gets invited to orgy parties because he doesn't go. I'll be full disclosure. He said he doesn't go and he doesn't attend. He just knows these people, and he gets invited to these people's events, and he knows where they go down at, and they are posted in private forums. I can't find out where these sex parties are at. So I said, you're a part of the underground sex world. He says, no, I'm not, because I don't go. I said, it doesn't matter if you go or not. You know when it's happening. You know where it's happening. And you always have the option to participate. You're canoodling with the underground sex world. Blur, what say you in 2 minutes?
I don't think that's the underground sex world. I don't think that's what that is. I think this is close to the dating a stripper. Like, strippers know where things is popping at because you know things don't mean you're a part of it. And this ain't underground. When you say underground sex world, I'm thinking sex trafficking. I'm thinking holding people against their will. This is just, I mean, people who want to get down. And I know two of my homegirls who like to orchestrate stuff. They're like, okay, you trying to get some money. I know a bunch of dudes with money who willing to give you some money to do some things. And so they put it together. And, I mean, that's just networking. If you you say underground sex world, I say this is just networking for sex workers.
Okay. Well, we got to go, so I disagree with you completely, but maybe we'll have this conversation next week.
I mean, that's definitely, I'm sorry.
Look, yeah. Blur part of the sex world. He's a dirtbag.
The more you talk, the more it sounds like
it's not underground. It's just, hey. I know how some people know people, and they know how to put stuff together. And it just so happens I know a few of these people as well.
Yeah, I hope you don't be buying hookers like McNugget show. Like, even though you might not be participating in the...
You can't say they're sex workers.
Sex workers? Mm-hmm. Hookers is bad?
Yeah, I mean...
Call someone a hooker can't be bad.
You don't think so? That's never been a negative connotation to the word hooker?
What's worse? I'm not having this conversation with you on the way what I call a woman, a hooker or a sex worker. You can't be offended if you take a dick for money. Can we agree on that?
No.
All right, we're ending on that. If I can pay you $40 to put my dick in your ass, then you can't be offended by me calling you a hooker.
Offended?
Offended.
DJ,
you sorry, anything to say before we roll?
Good night, everyone.
Oh, man. MX Shamani, anything to say before we roll?
Yeah, man. Justice Breyer is retiring. Biden has a chance to elect the first black female. Does he do it?
Oh, that's a kind of, I had that on our docket for this week, but time ran short. Because women be fucking up. But, you know, we'll have that conversation next week. I did have that on the docket. Let's have that discussion next week. You got anything else?
Nah, man, I'm good.
All right. Blur, you got anything?
Yeah, man, thanks for having me on. Sorry I was a little bit late, man. Had the mini-me. We was ACT test prepping. I was reviewing some test prep answers. Looks like he's getting better. He's on his way. Expecting big things in a couple of weeks. Hopefully we come back with some high scores. Fingers crossed. We'll have another person, another notch in the belt going to an HBCU, holding it down pretty soon. So, yeah, man. And that's it. I'm going to start a GoFund for you, Gunn. I mean, you a married man. You can't get no cuddles, man. We're gonna get you a cuddle buddy. You know there's people out there who do that. Like, you could pay them to come cuddle with you, man. If DJ C. Siren won't cuddle you, we hook you up, man. We can find somebody for you.
So you want me to just have him stop talking to you altogether? Because if you start with your underground sex world.
Ooh, she got mad. Oh.
You're out to be like.
Oh.
So
the cuddle buddy don't have sex with you. These are wholesome people. They don't have sex. They just cuddle you till you go to sleep.
I don't care. Yes, no.
I got a body pillow. New York.
Yeah. I ain't going to say anything remotely or close to that, yeah, because, at the end of the day, you know what I mean, don't let your baby get dunked like a basketball. Other than that, you know what I mean, Blair definitely said some information. Put your arm under the pillow. Don't put your arm under her head because the tingly feeling, mad, you know, nah, because you got mad ants in your arm at that point. Your arm is dead. You can't even move that shit after she's fallen asleep on that. Other than that, you know what I mean? No bodybuilders. I think that's a consensus from this conversation, you know what I mean? No hard bodies, no nothing. Other than that, we going to end it on a positive note. Yeah, you know I mean, if you can't stay motivated, stay consistent. Other than that, yeah, you know I mean, stay safe, stay positive, and know a lot. Stay positive. Stay positive. Ho! I gotta clarify that. Stay positive. Stay positive in a clear way. Don't stay positive for the COVID shit. No, stay positive for no STDs. But other than that, stay positive in your mind thinking. But other than that, we out of here.
Here we are.
Yeah, you wouldn't let me get a cuddle buddy?
No, but women are talking.
Men have to come
up. I'm in the back, change in my outfit. We said break, we will tend to have it. I said wait, here I come, here I come. I just don't want to do this.